You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
Peter was sleeping. Wait, did I read that right? Intending to bring him out. Peter, you're about to be killed. You ain't nervous. Peter, you not scared. You not up eating your last meal. You not begging these folk to spare you. Peter has such confidence in God. Y'all ain't hearing me. And let me drop this one on us. I'm about to bring it in. Let me drop this one on. Peter didn't have no more of the Holy Ghost than we got. Peter didn't have a pure form of the Holy Spirit, and we've been given some type of generic Holy Spirit. Oh, no. Come on, somebody should have got happy, got the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Peter, that allowed him to sleep with a death sentence on his head, that's the same Holy Spirit that dwells in me. I had to use myself because some of y'all ain't looking right. That's the same Holy Spirit that dwells in me. Pastor, you think you special? I didn't say that. But the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Peter, what Peter had, I got. What Peter had, I got it. Y'all remember how the old saint, you say, I got it. Look at three people and just shout to them, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. I got it. And if you got it right, tell them, I got it the old-fashioned way. I got the Holy Ghost. Yes, I do. I'm filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got it, and I got it right. Come on, I got it right. This is what allowed him when the angel showed up. He sleep. Can I break it down? Peter knocked out. That's the way we would say, that boy knocked out. Come on, you know how some of y'all sleep. Some of y'all sleep so good, somebody got to hit you with something to wake you up. Gone. That's another word. You're right, brother. Peter was gone. I'm just trying to make it relevant. Peter was gone, sleeping, knocked out, gone. Bound with two chains, sleeping with chains on. Sleeping good with chains. Sleep. Peter's sleeping better in prison than some of you sleep at home. Woo, but you got that same Holy Spirit. Peter in jail, chained between two soldiers, sleep. You got a posturpedic mattress and can't sleep. Woo, is that good? Dig in here. Got one of the best mattresses they make. Still can't sleep. Got the pillow with it too. Yeah, you went and got the bed like I did. I said, give me the pillow too. It might as well match. Yeah, when I went to get me a mattress, it was years ago. Me and Donald went to get a mattress. I told the guy, he said, we got everything. He said, shopping for mattresses like shopping for cars. Now, I ain't trying to be funny. He said, look, he said, we got the Nissans and the Hondas over here. Come on. He said, we got the Lexuses and the BMWs right here. And then he said, down there's the Bentleys and the Rolls Royces. That's how he described. If you're going to get mad at somebody, go up and get mad at the guy at Mattress Firm. That's, I'm telling you what he told me. And I told him, I said, take me to the Bentleys. I done had a Honda. Take me to the Bentley. He took her to the Bentley. He said, try it out. Lay on it. And I thank God wasn't nobody in the store because I stretched out. Bound with two chains. See, we got a challenge, y'all. Say, how can this man, Ursula, y'all can be seated because it's taking me a long time. How can this man, thank you. No, listen, how can this man have a death sentence on him, chained between two soldiers, and getting a good night's sleep, and you in a year of rewards and tossing and turning? See, sometimes we got to challenge ourselves. Like, that's not acceptable. That's unacceptable that I can't sleep and I'm a child of God. I'm worrying about what somebody said. I'm a child of God. I shouldn't be concerned about what certain folk think about me. Who don't pay my bills, didn't save me, didn't die for me, didn't take a beating for me. And then I said, and don't like me. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Peter didn't know an angel was by. A light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side. He had to hit him. Struck him on the side. Boom. Raised him up, saying, arise quickly. Watch this. Then supernatural things start happening. The angel said, arise quickly. The angel is a messenger. The messenger said, get up real quick, Peter. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. And if you'll study it, the angel basically became a bodyguard to Peter. Walked him all the way out the city to the iron gate. Like he was his bodyguard, and waited for the iron gate to open up. And when the iron gate opened of its own accord, then the angel disappeared. The angel know where the angel just walked with people. Like, I'm gonna stay with you in case somebody don't like what just happened. See, only folk gonna get excited are people who know the scripture, who know that angels are encamp those that what fear him. I got angels with me. Come on, but listen. I want to show you why he was able to sleep. Go to Isaiah 26. I want to show you why Peter was able to sleep. Yeah, he's sleeping in prison like that. Yeah, I got to check myself. I got to look at some of my leaders. I got to check out my leaders more. I got to look at my leaders more closely. Is he sleeping like that? Isaiah 26 and 3. Here's why. Notice Isaiah 26 and 3. Y'all ready? Notice what Isaiah prophesied. You will keep him. See if it sounds like Peter. You will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind. Whose mind. Y'all got to get this word. Whose mind is stayed. Whose mind is stayed. A person who's determined. A person who's dogged at keeping their mind on you because he or she trusts in you. Peter's mind was stayed on the Lord, so he was able to rest even in a somewhat difficult situation. And we can do the same. And so my subject this morning, and I've said a lot, is a dogged mindset. When your mind is stayed on the Lord, you have a dogged mindset. I want to talk to us this morning from the subject, a dogged mindset. And if you have it, if you possess it, I want you to look at one neighbor and tell him or her, I have a dogged mindset. And let's give God a praise. Amen. If you have a dogged mindset, come on, let's give our God a tremendous hand of praise for having a dogged mindset. Notice Peter said he will keep him in perfect, in complete peace, whose mind is stayed on him. One definition of dogged is to continue without giving up despite trouble or difficulties. when we think about a dogged mindset, it says that no matter what we go through, we are going to continue to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. The problem with a lot of us, the reason why we can possess peace, but we can't hold on to peace, is because we don't have a dogged mindset. Some of you are not taught as well as you need to be taught. And so the God is going to help us on this morning. You and I need to always understand that we bear a certain amount of responsibility for our own mindset. God is not going to force me, come on church, he is not going to make me keep my mind on him if I so choose to put my mind on other things. He's not going to force me to think about him. He's not going to force you to think about his word. I don't care how much trouble is knocking at your door. I don't care how much trouble is in your house. God will not show up, child of God, and twist your arm and force you to put your mind on him. We have to be purpose. Come on, somebody. We have to be purpose. Come on. I have to do my part. I have to allow God to know that I'm going through a whole lot, God, and I know you know what I'm going through. I know you see every battle. I know you hear the things that are being said. I know you know the things that people are plotting and planning against me. But Lord, I want you to help me because I'm striving to keep my mind on you. God, I'm striving throughout this Monday at work to keep my mind on the word you gave me Sunday. I'm striving to have a dogged mindset. God, I don't want to just think any kind of way. God, I don't want my mind, come on somebody, to be where it doesn't need to be. Number two, our word for dogged meant that we had to stick with it. Once you set your mind on the Lord and the things of the Lord, including the word of the Lord, including the will of the Lord, you have to stick with it. How many of us mature saints know that there are times that things come against our mind, but we are just determined throughout a day and throughout a week that I'm going to stick with it. God gave me a scripture. He dropped it in my spirit and I'm just going to stick with it. He told me that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And so I'm looking at trouble knowing that it's working for me. I'm looking at my trial and I'm speaking about my trial, that good is coming out of you. I'm talking to trouble saying better is coming out of you. I'm even so dogged that I'm looking at trials and tribulation and I'm calling better for. I'm saying better come out of this. Good come up out of this. Oh, come on somebody. I'm not just going through what I'm going through for nothing. Good is in this. This is my year of my year of what? My year of what? Your year of what? You got to have a dogged mindset. The antonym of having a dogged mindset is to have an anxious mind. It is to have a mind that's filled with worrying. Worrying about things that you can't control. Worrying about things that's too big for you. Worrying about people who are grown enough to make their own decision, but you keep crying over what foolish grown folk are deciding to do. You have to so get to the point that, well, I'm not going to worry about things that I cannot control. You have to let people go. You have to give people to God. You don't hear me this morning. You got to turn folks over to the Lord and say, Lord, I give him to you because I've done all that I know to do. And I'm not going to worry if he want to throw his life away. It's his life to throw away. But my life means something to me. And I'm going to love him, but I'm going to tell him what's right. I'm going to love her, but I'm going to tell her what that lifestyle will bring in the end. God, I'm preaching hard up here. How many know what I'm talking about? You better tell somebody. You got to turn people over to God sometime.
Oh, I'm talking right, woman. You got to give that husband to God. You got to stop trying to raise a grown man. You got to give him to God. Love him and be the best wife that you can be, but you give him to God. How many know what I'm talking about? He's saying you need to put up with just anything. But you got to always remember sinners sin. Sinners love sinning. Sinners enjoy the pleasure of sin until he gets saved and gets saved right. There's a difference between you and him. You're walking down different paths. But you got to love him. You can't give up. Preach that thing, Pastor. So I don't want my mind worrying. Hear what I said, church, about things that I can't control. Especially grown people. Tell folk what's right and move on. Tell them what's right. Show them why it's right. And keep it moving. Let them know you love them. Amen. Also, this word has to do with it. When you don't have a dogged mindset. Listen to me very carefully. You have a wandering mind. It's dangerous to be going through trouble. It's dangerous to be dealing with things that are important. And you need to make the right decision. But you have a wandering mind. Anybody ever been going through something and your mind was not dogged? It was not stayed on the word. It was not stayed on the will of God. But your mind was what I described. And I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about myself right now. I remember times of going through a whole lot. And when it came to my mindset, I knew the word, but my mind was not on the word. My mind was, listen to me, all over the place. Anybody have been going through a whole lot? And it's like your mind is being pulled in different directions. Y'all know I'm going to teach it right now. You see, no wonder you got a migraine. No wonder you feel the heartbeat in your eyes. It feel like your eyes are just pressure on your eyes. Head pounding in the back. And that's the way they say your vision is at. And so now you got the blurry vision. But a lot of it has to do with, not all, but sometimes it has to do with the fact that our mind is all over the place. One minute I'm thinking about this. The next minute I'm thinking about that. And then I'm meditating on this. And then I'm meditating on this bad thing. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. That mind is just all over the place. Finally, the antithesis of a dogged mindset is to have an aimless mind. An aimless mind. Meaning that you're living life not having purpose when it comes to how you're going to think. Not being purposeful on what you're going to set your mind on. You know what you're going through, but okay, what are you going to set your mind on? And whenever your mind is aimless, then you have given your mind no target to hit. Come on, there's some good teaching. There's some good teaching. You will never hit the bullseye because there is no target because your mind is idle and demons love to play with an idle mind. Evil people love to play with people's mind. When their mind is aimless, evil folk will play with your mind like Play-Doh. Tell and say things to you that they know gonna get next to you. Treat you nasty and hateful because they know you're gonna leave their house speeding and mad and ready to fight. And ain't gonna be able to get your mind off how she treated you. Because you're not giving your mind purpose. You're not giving your mind a target. See, every day we ought to get up and know throughout the day, I got to hit the bullseye today. I got to hit the target today. God has given me a word. I must have a dogged mindset. I've got to keep my mind on the word. Things are coming, but I'm going to keep my mind on the word. Are you here this morning? Notice when it comes to Acts the 12th chapter that our primary character is Peter,
the apostle. Notice when it came to Peter that Herod and the Jewish people had formed weapons against the true church in order to attack its leaders, in order to bring about serious damage in God's church. This is the reason you have to pray for your leaders. Come on. I paused because I didn't get enough amen. I didn't get enough amen then. See, some of you so busy critiquing your leader, you so busy thinking you should be your leader, that you don't pray for your leader. You see what your leader did wrong, but you don't ever see the things that your leader gets right. Come on, somebody. I know it hurt. You can't clap. It hurt too bad. Yeah, you can't put your hand together. A leader can't even clap off nothing like that. Just look. You'd be surprised how many folk always critiquing the pastor. But you'll be surprised how many actually spend quality time praying for the pastor, knowing that the pastor's assignment is serious and it affects all of our lives. Yeah, pastor got to make decisions that affect the church, and he needs to have a dogged mind. Lord, have your way in pastor today. I don't know what he's dealing with. I don't know, need to know what he's dealing with, but have your way in pastor. And oh, God bless our first lady. Have your way in Sister Donna. Move for Sister Donna. Give her wisdom. Whoa. Am I right? So notice now, because I'm going to get into the meat of it. Notice that because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he said, well, if they like that I killed James, then they're going to go crazy if I can capture Peter. If I can bring down Peter, I can shake their faith. And so Herod and the Jews devise an evil plan. Y'all can give me a little bit of time. That landed Peter in prison. And verse 4 says, and so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison. Notice the wording carefully. And delivered him, I got it, to four squads of soldiers. And gave the soldiers instruction, keep him. Keep him because I'm intending to bring him forth after the Passover. I ain't going to do it during the Passover because it'll upset too many people. See, Herod wasn't just evil, but he was political too. He know, and see, y'all don't recognize, evil folk, they choose to do things on a certain day so that they can get a certain reaction. I ain't going to kill him right now, but I want to kill him after the Passover, because if I kill him during the Passover, the people are going to get upset and they may turn against me. It don't bother me that I'm doing something evil. What bothers me is that the people may turn against me and then I'll be taken out of power. So I'm going to do something that pleases the people. Be careful sometimes, because sometimes people mistreat you because they want to please somebody who has a problem with you. Be careful when you don't have a problem with somebody, but somebody is using you like a pawn to come against somebody else. And you don't even know what the situation is about. You don't even know what's being said. But they just want you to get on their side. Come on, I got to preach this. You better be careful of people who just want to pull you on their side. Be careful of people who only tell you one side of the story. But yet you know you're grown enough to know there are two sides to every story. Be careful when you start siding with people. See, I don't want to be on your side. I don't want to be on your side. I don't want to be on your side or your side. I want to be on God's side. Who's on the Lord's side? Am I talking right? Well, you better be on my side if you're going to be my friend. Hey, with that junk. If you wrong, I'm going to call you out. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching real hard. Peter was therefore, verse 5, kept in prison. But constant prayer. Somebody shout, constant prayer. Notice, not only was Peter, or not only, excuse me, did Peter have a dogged mindset, but check out the church. Check out the church reaction to knowing that they got Peter. Uh-oh, I'm finna make some people mad. Knowing they got Peter.
Now remember, on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 souls were added to the church. And then the Bible tells us at the beginning of the act that they begin to multiply. They begin to grow. Souls are being saved. We ain't talking about 6 or 7 folk. They could have got a whole army together. But see, in some ways, the church has deviated from who we are supposed to be. Somehow we have allowed the world to convince us that their weapons will work for us, and therefore we put down our weapons. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Come on, I'm finna go deep. I'm finna go in a little bit on you now. See, but they understood this right here. They understood that staying in the will of God, having a dogged mindset, is indeed a weapon. No, we're going to come together in constant prayer. Yeah, they got Peter, but what we need is a prayer revival. We need to call a revival. We got to get the saints around the altar. We got to get folks on bended knee. We all got to come together. Come on, church, and start crying out to God. What I love about this church with a dogged mindset is that they did not choose to go down to the jail like this modern church and start protesting and boycotting and marching, saying free Peter. No, they got in prayer, and they knew that prayer could touch God. And if we touch God, God can break him up out of there. Who? But look at this phony church nowadays, trying to fight things the way the world fight it. Saints, y'all got to be able to recognize false teachers. You not only got to recognize false teachers, but you got to stay away from them. Don't listen to them when they prove to be false. Like that mess up in Atlanta, Jamal Bryant, wanting the church to come together and boycott Target, even though he's in the wrong. Oh, come on, somebody. Why don't we pray? Why don't the church pray? Because the church has no power. And so we're trying to accomplish things the way the world does it. Got to recognize false prophets now and appreciate that you have a bona fide prophet. Appreciate that pastor is striving to do things God's way, even if you don't like it sometimes. Even if I rebuke you, a word of correction come. You ought to tell God, thank you for a bona fide pastor that ain't out here trying to please the people, ain't trying to do what the people want, but trying to do what you would have him to do. Y'all better give God a praise up in here. Beware of these false prophets preaching and teaching erroneous things in the church. Beware of doctrines of demons, pseudo prophets, pseudo pastors. Be seated. Sound good, but ain't talking right. I warned y'all about that other mess in Atlanta. Don't know what's going on in Atlanta, but I want folk to know we in Metro Atlanta, and we standing on the truth. We are not backing off of God's word. I want to let you know there is a church in the Atlanta area that has a dogged mindset. There are people that still want to please God. There are people that have no problem with sanctification and holiness unto the Lord, which without no man shall see the Lord. I told you Creflo Dollar was a mess. He's a mess. I told you he was a mess. I told you he was false when he went against tithing. Man opened his mouth and went against the word and said that now we're no longer under tithing, we're under grace giving. Two tithers got off track listening to Pastor Creflo Dollar and his false teachings. Come on. Well, I know pastor said tithing, right? I know he shows a cup of spirit, but Pastor Creflo said, you ain't got tithe, you're under grace. But see, God used Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. Oh, come on, somebody. Malachi said this right here. Malachi said, you robbed me, even this whole nation. Then God used the same prophet. He used the same prophet to rebuke the people for not tithing, to use the same mouth of that same prophet to say, I am the Lord, I do not change. He wanted his tithe back then. He wants his tithe right now.
And I told you Creflo was lying. I told you he was playing games, shamming people.
Some of you didn't believe, you kept listening to him. And now the other week or so, he going to come out and in a message say that the Holy Spirit was a female. He said the Holy Spirit was a she. When the Bible said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How can you call the Holy Spirit a woman, a female? You insulting the Holy Spirit. Come on, I'm preaching hard. And it wasn't no slip of the tongue. It wasn't that he said she and he meant he. Because he went on trying to define words, trying to break down and prove that the Holy Spirit was a woman. But see, he know that the LGBTQ community is attacking the true church. He know that. He know if he can convince some old dumb saints to believe that the Holy Spirit is a woman, then he can convince a woman that you can turn yourself into a man. But the devil is a lie. The same way a man cannot turn himself into a woman. A woman can cut off her breast, but she's still female. A man can get a BBL, but he's still male. He was born male. She was born female. Come on here, somebody. But if you get to falling for this craziness. Why would a man say God is a female? And only start apologizing and correcting it when folks start hitting it with scriptures. But how can you be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and insult the Holy Spirit? We're living in dangerous times. The Bible said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Look at the gender game they want to play now. It ain't nothing but a game. America can make it legal, but they can't make it right. Come on, let's say it again. America can make it legal, but they can't make it right. Oh, Lord. I'm going to say it again. America can make it legal, but they can't make it right. I got to move on. But see, I don't understand some African-American Christians who hate Trump. Trump a racist. He a racist. I'll vote for anything and anybody, no matter what they believe, before I vote for that racist. He's a racist. That's all for Holly. But what laws has he passed? What laws has he tried to pass that go against the book? Oh, see, it's quiet now. Whoa, you hate Trump because he's a racist, but you love Obama. You love yourself, Michelle and Obama, even though they push the LGBT community right up in the White House. He's proud of being a champion for that community. And the man made the White House in the rainbow colors of the LGBT community, and y'all gave him a pass. Politicians are just that, politicians. You don't put your trust in the Republicans. You don't put your trust in the Democrat. You put your trust in God. It hurt to hear the truth. Come on. And so they put him in prison. But the church remained the church. That's all I'm saying. I can't let Trump get me out the will of God. I can't let Harris get me out the will of God. I can't let Donna get me out the will of God. I can't let Martha get me out the will of God. I can't let Deacon Hill get me out. I can't let nobody get me out the will of God. The church has to remain the church. We are not like the world. We shouldn't be trying to be like the world. Oh, yeah, Pastor Jeff. I might as well go all out today while I got some of you here. Yeah, look at Pastor Mike Jr. in the pulpit with his shirt unbuttoned to his chest. Got two earrings dingling in his ear. What's up with that? When did God drop his standard? When did a man have to look feminine to be a pastor? Oh. It's hitting too hard for you today. See, some of you are caught up in that trap. Want to look more like the world than you do the church. Why don't you set a trend? Why don't you make the world desire to be like you? Why are you not proud to be a church girl? Why don't you tell Beyonce she's a fool, she's a witch? I'm proud to be a church girl. Why don't you shout like a church girl? Why don't you dress like a church girl? Why don't you wear your hair like a church girl? Why don't you want to smell like a church girl? Yeah, I'm preaching it. What's wrong with a church girl? Come on. See, the church got to remain the church. We can't get caught up in this stuff. We can't get caught up in Kendrick Lamar telling Drake they not like her. I got news for you, Kendrick Lamar. You and Drake both demonic, and we ain't like none of y'all. We are the church. I need some folk to get up on your feet and just start shouting, dancing, doing something to give God the praise. Letting folk know we are the church. We have a dogged mindset. I'm the church. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. See, it's a trick of the enemy to make us want to be like them. And see, when we do it as a church, when you lower the standards, you confuse the children in church. Yeah, you confuse the young ones in church. They want to know why you trying to be like them. We lift the standard to show our young people that ain't nothing wrong with being saved. That this is the good life that we live in. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't upset with me, are you? Gotta talk right, though. Look at somebody say the church gotta remain the church. Look at somebody else say the church gotta stay the church. So that when people come in, they'll know they can be delivered. They know they come into a place that got power. Now, we don't want to turn the lights off out there. We don't want to make it feel like no club up in here. We don't want to make it dark in the seat and then shine a light on me. I ain't no comedian. I ain't no entertainer. I'm a preacher. What's up with people wanting the church to feel like a club? Some of you like it. You love it. We serve donuts and coffee in the audience while I'm preaching. You eating a donut sipping on coffee. It ain't gonna happen. He better get up and respond to me. You better give me an amen. You better tell me, preach it, pastor. You ain't got time to be sipping on no coffee. I need this word to live. I need this word to get my reward. I need this word to be the man that God has called me to be. Bring some of you men at the head of your household. You're soft as a donut. Look at Isaiah 26 and 3. Yeah, it ain't just a knock to you, brother. It's a knock to your wife because she liked you being soft as a donut. Yeah, she know as long as you soft as a donut, she can dip you in her coffee. Make you do what she wants. You thinking like a woman. You a man. Bible called a man the strong man. He looked at the woman and said, give honor unto the wife, unto whom is the weaker vessel. You were created with strength. And I wasn't no man before I got saved. I was a punk. Well, I was a little punk.
cheating, running around cheating on a good woman, shooting dice, blow, just in the street. I'm a little punk. You hear me? But when I got saved, God made me a man. Woo! God made me a man that I am. He made me strong. God gave me a backbone. I walk like a man. Nothing soft about me. Come on. See, more brothers ought to be standing. Still got brothers sitting down. Donuts. And the world pastor gonna preach hard about strong men, and you still sitting down. Pastor, I'm tired today. Yeah, but I called your number. I called your name. You ought to have receipts for being a strong man. But what I'm doing right now, I'm challenging men. Donuts ought to remain seated. Man, God will move for you when you have a dogged mindset. Lay hands on your children and speak blessing. Speak reward. Call your wife over. Lay hands on her. Speak a blessing on your wife. Speak that she's loved, that she's favored. Build her with your word. Your word have power. And all you do is criticize, you donut. Isaiah 26:3. Y'all get ready, I'm almost through. I'm gonna run out the aisle. I'm gonna duck and run out the aisle. I'm calling men to a higher standard. I don't care if brothers get mad. If you mad, I was talking to you. I'm calling you to a higher standard. I'm calling you to a higher level. I'm calling you to be priest in your own house. I'm calling for you to be preacher in that house. Give the word up in that house. Lead prayer up in that house. Clap first in that house. Shout first in that house. Leap first in that house. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Meaning if we keep our mind stayed on God, we are powerful men. Sister, when you keep your mind stayed on God, married or single, you are a powerful woman. And demons can't do nothing with you. That's the reason the world want to turn you against your man. They want to turn you against your covering. Now you acting like a powdered donut. Always speaking bad about men. Down and ain't never got nothing good to say about men. What's wrong with you? Whose mind is stayed on it? Because he trusts in you. Peter in prison. But he being a man about it. And crying, begging y'all for my life. Keep the chains on me, soldier. I imagine Peter looked at him and said, good night. You know, they had to be looking at Peter like, something wrong with this fellow. This is the one we're going to kill, ain't it? I'm going to show you two quick things Peter knew. And if you're going to have a dog in mind, you better know these two things. You sit up in church, the devil make you a donut in church. Coming to church don't prove you no man of God. Joining leadership don't prove you no man of God. If on the inside you ain't no leader. First Peter, I claim head of household all day. But if I ain't giving Donna an example, I got to give her something to submit to. First Peter. Then if she bucks me. Come on. Then if she bucks me. See, then I can go to her, Sister Pam. And I can tell her like this right here. You in trouble with God. Who you supposed to be? I be your head. And I ain't no donut. I don't want these little boys in elementary. I don't want you being no donut. Come on, set the standard, Miguel. You look good, son. You look good.
I wouldn't lie to you. You got your pastor spirit. It took something to wear that suit. You got your pastor spirit. You clean, my boy. Clean. 1 Peter 4:12. See, people look at him like, what? Is it Easter? What is it? No, that brother said, I'm taking the standard up. I'm raising the standard. 1 Peter 4:12. I'm closing. I'm closing because y'all about done. See, got parents and donuts. Donuts. Grown, unsaved child. Believing in other gods running the house. You're a donut. First Peter 4:12. Yeah, I might as well just talk it out now. I'm just going to talk it out. First Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange. Now, this is what Peter wrote. Now, I'm giving you his insight. He's in prison, but notice what Peter later writes to the church. He said to the church, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. See, when Peter was in prison, he wasn't thinking it strange. He wasn't thinking that strange had happened to him. He knew he was an apostle. He knew the same way they hated Jesus, Peter knew they hate me too. See, if you Jesus, they'll hate you for it. But Jesus loved everybody. Jesus just came to make everybody love everybody. Jesus came so everybody could be at peace. Read your Bible. Jesus said, you think that I come to bring peace on earth. He said, I come to bring a sword. He said, I'm going to separate families. Because one going to love me and the other going to hate me. And they going to have to choose me or them. See, the way I'm preaching, a lot of folks ain't going to like it. Online and in church. But I'm choosing Jesus when I preach like this. That's all I'm doing. I'm choosing Jesus. And if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate me. They call me pastor, but hate me. Want me to change. I ain't. A dogged mindset is the antidote for thinking strange. You want to stop thinking strange? Give your mind an assignment. Give your mind a target. Say to yourself, it's unacceptable as long as I've been saved, much word as I've received. To think it's strange because of this, that, and the other. No temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man. Whatever we go through is common. You ain't going through nothing that nobody else has never been through. That's common. See, he knew he had to have a dogged mind. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 7. All you got to do is turn it over. We close. 1 Peter 5 and 7. This is what he's telling the church. This is what Peter was doing. Casting all your care. How much of your care? Casting all your care upon him. For he what? Cares for you. Pastor, how was Peter able to sleep? He cast his care on Jesus. Come on. See, a dogged mindset is to cast or throw your cares on Jesus. See, instead of some of us throwing our cares on Jesus and having a dogged mindset to do so, I'm giving this to you, Lord. And being dogged to say, I'm giving this to you. I'm casting this on you. Some of us are not casting our cares. We hugging them. You hugging your cares. It's a care, but you just treating it like a little old baby. Just, this is my care. I can't get this off my mind. Everybody is against me. See, cast that care. That's what he had to do that night to sleep. He had to cast it on the Lord. And for the sake of time, when Peter didn't think strange, when he had a dogged mindset, when he cast that care on God, he wasn't trying to break his way out of there. That's the reason he went to sleep. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Watch the reward of having a dogged mindset. When Peter went to sleep, come on, come on. Tell your neighbor, the Lord
sent. And do your hand like this. One angel. He didn't have to send no two. He didn't have to send no legion. See, you only know who you serve. Daniel, he sent one angel. God told one angel. I don't know if it was Michael, Gabriel. I know angel. Sent one angel and told one angel this. Go get Peter out of there. Go down there and wake Peter up. See, God is sending one angel. He's talking to you right now. God's messenger is talking to you right now. Telling you to have a dogged mind. And God said, let her know when I see that she has a dogged mind. Tell her for me, Pastor. I got a reward for her. I got a reward for her. See, God's reward for Peter was they can't kill you because I ain't gave them permission. Go down there and break him out. Do you see it? That one angel. You sitting up here worried about your mortgage. God sent one angel. Broke Peter out of prison. Broke the chains off of him. Didn't have a key to the gate. Made the gate open itself. God will send an angel down there to PNC and pay off your loan. You'll just get that it's paid in full. And they'll say, we'll have to check the camera. Some man came in here. He had your account information. He had your... And he paid it in full. And when stuff like that happened to me, I don't want to see the camera. Give me my deed. You ain't got to prove to me. I ain't trying to search it and find out what happened here. Somebody make a mistake. Anybody made a mistake, God sent an angel. You could be up there like Brother Rotten and laying in Emory with several aneurysms. Doctors doing the best they can. God said, he got to be on my keyboard. He got to play my keyboard. He got songs he done wrote. He got beats he got to share with Sister Tamika. He got all this in him. You know what God did? Said, send an angel down that Emory. See, while them doctors were working on Brother Rodney, that angel was sitting right there saying, all is well. Nay, come back looking better than he was when he went up that end. What'd they do to you up that end? You came back looking better. Some of you poor mouthing about vacation. When I hear certain stuff, it just makes me, it gets me. It gets me. It do something to me. All the years you want a pull mouth about paying money for vacation, you do it in the year of rewards? And if the truth be told, somebody paid it for you last year. Then you come back this year. It's higher than it was last year. Pay it. Pay it. He gave you the money. Pay it. Pay it. You'll get down in Orlando and somebody will walk up and hand it all back. See, he'll send an angel down there. See, you go to Denver, you don't want to see Mickey Mouse or none of them. There's an angel down here ready to bless you. I got to close. But you're pole mouth in the year of reward. Well, you know we ain't got it. You know thing tight over here and God keep hearing you talk. God said, I ain't going to let it get tight. I'm going to let it dry up on her. I done told about her mouth. I warned you. Don't waste time. Don't waste resources. And don't waste opportunities. We complement each other. We don't compete with each other. Come on. I don't care if the Fords go to Paris for family week. I ain't competing with the Fords. Now I'm going to tell them to bring me back some good cologne. Wear 9.5. Good Italian shoe. We'll help a brother out. Come on. But I ain't trying to say, well, the Ford went to Paris. We got to do something. We ain't competing. We compliment. A family ain't no better because they went here and your family went there. The thing is, get where you're going to get and enjoy yourself. I'm done.